I am a son in the church. This is where I am planted. And I love it here. Amen. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. You must pray for me. I'm very nervous. I don't know how many prayers I got only this week. But we are praying for you. Even now there I was getting prayer. Zach, Pastor Zach gave me prayer. Last night Apostle Jaka gave me prayer. I'm getting prayers. And I thank you. And I don't think those prayers, I know what they are for. But mostly the prayers is that I do not do African time. I want to share a little bit about why I'm here, and not so much about how God carried me to here. Last year, I took a picture of the conference preachers. So you know, your phone will remind you. Last year, this time, you took a picture. And last year, I get even emotional saying it. I took a picture of Apostle Lucky, Apostle Jaka, and Pastor Abi Mabonya and Doc Kheri. How I met Doc Kheri was through Pastor Abi Mabonya. So those who are in the ministry, they can understand. I started there, and then I came here. So it's an honor, and I want to first start by honoring the head of this house and every leadership in this house. Amen. And I also want to honor each and every person who is here, whether in rank or not in rank, but everyone has got a gift that God has given to you. Amen. That's why the Bible says some were pastors and some apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. It was not all of them. It was just some. So, some are called. And some of you are chosen. Right? So, it's an honor to be called into this conference to preach and hear what the Lord is saying. I mean, every one of us want power. Oh, you don't agree? Say, I want power. The things in your life need power to move. They do not move on their own. You know, if I can bring an iron now, you can see it was not plugged. But if I say, touch it, you'll be scared to touch it. You'll try to feel if there is heat there and if there is no heat. But you saw it was just sitting there unplugged. That is how the enemy sees us. He knows we are Christians. We are children of God. To those that believed in him, he gave them power to be called children of God. He knows that we are children of God. He knows what sort of power goes through us. That iron has got 2.4 or 2.8 watts of volt running through it. That's why our clothes look like this. Because power went through it. Energy went through it. Even if he's just standing there, the enemy knows I cannot just touch this Christian or this child of God. He can't just decide to touch. That's why he comes to say, let me see if this child of God is plugged. I'm going somewhere. He says, let me just see if this child of God knows where the stream of power comes from. He comes to tempt. He says, I want to see will this person run to plug into the power grid of the power of the Holy Spirit? Or will that iron just stay there and do nothing? I said, tell me, I want power. I want power. Even Jesus needed power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit that took him from where he was to go into the wilderness. Even when he was done in the wilderness, he told the disciples, go tarry ye into the upper room. And you shall receive power. I want power. Yes, we're getting somewhere. You see, demons and all that family line of Satan and them, I don't know them because I don't belong to that family. They've got power. One thing for sure, don't be fooled. I've never met a verse, maybe I'm not a Bible scholar, that says Satan is a fool. If you have, please show me. He lived in ancient time. He knows things you did not know before you were born. He knows your family line. He knows where you are going. He knows who you are. The problem is, we don't know who we are. I knew you before you were born. This God, he says, I want to live in this earthly vessel. I am there outside of time, outside of cosmos, outside of galaxies, outside of the planets. I am there, but yet I want to live in earthly vessels. The most need amongst others for a Christian, for a child of God, for a believer, for a saint, is to capture the essence of God in them. All we are or hope to be is when we pray and we look up, we want our faces to be that of Stephen, and that the heavens would open and would see Jesus, and we said, we have had an encounter. Every day when we come to the throne of God, we want to have that embodiment. And that embodiment comes by power. I'm going to get to authority. I want to focus on this power. It is in the power of the name of Jesus. It is the power that flows through us into those that we are ministering to. It is the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. Because there is a difference between the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. Before I lose my crowd, the person is the one who has emotions. The one you grieve that one. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. The one you ignore, and when you ignore, he goes away. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. But the one who is in you is the Holy Spirit. There is no difference. The distinction is just a metaphoric way to show you are also an emotional being. You have a soul, which the Holy Spirit cares about when he does transformation and sanctification. So your feelings have to be aligned with those of the feelings of the person of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, help me preach this thing. Now, our embodiment, or what we desire, is to be transfigured like Jesus' clothes were transfigured. That when you look at us, you don't look at us without mirroring, being a mirror of God. That's why the Bible says when you look upon the Lord from one level of glory, you mirror what or how he looks like. This authority that we want, it is the embodiment that there are people who would walk into a place without praying, that the presence will speak to that area. Let me show you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 15. I know someone will say he is preaching, but he has not read a verse. Is that the one I'm looking for? Yes. Down to this very day, whenever Moses is read, you can switch it off from there. Thank you. See, Moses was read. How Moses was read, he collided with the Lord. And Moses became the law. So up until today, when you speak about the Ten Commandments, you cannot speak about them outside the name of Moses. So what I felt the Lord want to do in this conference is that when people speak of a name or your name, or they speak of you, they should not be able to separate you from the authority. I have this thing called favor. You need favor. Say, I need favor. I've had this thing that I call favor. Whenever I want to buy something, the price goes down. It's not pride. It has happened so many times that I don't even have to do a prayer item about it. I don't have to bother God about it. If I want it, the price goes down. Some can call it grace, but grace is favor. Okay. When I'm going off from where, borrowing from the page of Pastor Lucky. And I told Apostle Jaga yesterday night, I said, Hanali called and said, they said there are no planes. The airport is closed. That was on Sunday. She said, Apostle is coming, the airport is closed. We don't know where he's going to land. You know what I said to her? I said they should have discussed that with me first. Right? Authority. We are here for authority. I said they should have discussed that with me first. The man of God is coming, and you're telling me there's no place for him to land. The following day she called me. There was no prayer. There was no declaration. There was no decree. By the word that I said. The following day she called and said, no, the airport is open. I said, I told you they should have discussed that with me first. But because the enemy would play tricks, that's why I said he will try to touch the iron and want to see if there's power coming from there. Then they send a message on Facebook. The airport transmission, they cannot speak to the plane, so they don't know how the plane will land. She sent me a message. Said, these people, have they not heard? Have you not heard? I called them. Remember, I spoke to them in the spirit. Now I'm calling them. So I called one guy there. He didn't answer. I told Annalie, that guy didn't answer. I'm going to call him in exactly 1 hour, and he's going to answer my phone. This guy, we've met at a workshop. I know he doesn't answer calls. I don't even call him. I called him. He he picked up. Said, do you remember me? Said, yes. I said, what is happening there at the airport? Says, no, it's flights from Mpumalanga that will not be able to land. I said, then why do you issue an article saying the planes will not be able to land? Then he started to talk to another guy. Now he doesn't want to speak to me anymore. Speaking to, hey, what is happening? Is everything fixed? I said, the apostle is coming. How many times are the flights going to be there? He said, 3 times. I said, thank you. Put down the phone, send a message to Analia. I said, all is good. The Bible tells me that we fear and tremble to God. Even Satan does that and he knows. But you know what he's more afraid of? The knowledge. The knowledge. So, until what time am I preaching? Okay. Yeah. Let's let them land. Amen. I was very glad. I was happy. When sometimes you come in the name of the Lord, like David did, you don't know what will happen. You never get used to God and His presence and His majesty and His sovereignty and His faithfulness and His expansion of His manifold wisdom. You never get used to His integrity, His holiness. You try to get close to God, you feel like you're going to die. But yet you say, more Lord, more of you. But when he starts to come, you quiver and shiver and you want to hide, because the more he is exposed to you, is the more you are exposed to yourself. It is easy for us to say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. But you don't know the cost of that blood. Our mind cannot fathom or comprehend that one says the gospel is free. The gospel is free. But you don't know the cost. It never costed us anything. It is on this altar that the Lord sacrificed to bring us this body that we are looking for. Not this earthly body, but the heavenly body. That when we come into a sphere, we can come and have a sphere of influence. Like I said, when your presence is there, when you come into town, you find the town shakes and moves. Things become orderly because you are around. That is authority. Sometimes this part of moving into earthly vessels, you find that you are like Moses, that when they have to talk about the law, they cannot speak separate from you. They try to say, I can make it stop rain, but they will have to add Elijah to the statement. You see, the same way that it was said, God came and said, I've seen my people. They are suffering. I've heard their cry. I have come. But Moses, go. He has come. But Moses must be the one to go. The Lord has come. But it has to be me and you who must go to set the Israelites free. Who must go to set those who are in bondage, those who don't have liberty. We have come. That's why the Spirit of the Lord has come and said, I have anointed you, Jesus, the anointed one, to go and preach good tidings to the poor, to set the captives free, to bring liberty to the brokenhearted. So to appropriate scripture is not only to quote scripture. Because also Satan, I've got news for you, news flash. Satan also can quote scripture. You want power? He also has power. What is it that we have more than what he doesn't have? Authority. I'm trying to revive us. That we understand that we have authority. It just so happens that authority must work where you are standing from or on. Jesus had so much authority that even when he cast out demons, he didn't have to say in the name of Jesus because he was authority on earth. That's why he had to give it. It was for him to lay down his life and give it. No one could take it away from him. Oh, Labasata. No one can take authority away from you. It is you who give it.
Amen.
You see, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's focus on steal. He came to steal, to take authority from you. Right? But Jesus came and he said, I, and you. Thank you. So who lost authority? The first Adam. So we are here to sound the alarm that church should not regress to the first Adam. Because the last Adam came to take authority that was given to Satan by the first Adam. Huh? So the first Adam gave authority to Satan and he ran to hell with it. Then the last Adam came to take that authority and give. Understand this. He came to give it. What we have to do is receive it. I think I want to stand on this one. Maybe some more. So, remember I said when we look at Moses, we see the law. When we see Adam, we see someone who has no distinction between him and the Father. Because when the Father came into the Garden of Eden, he said, in the cool of the day, I went and made a fellowship and communion with Adam. When God came and said, Adam, where are you? He did not lose Adam. How can God lose Adam? All knowing, all understanding. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. How can he lose Adam? Because he did not recognize what this body, what I have installed, what I have put in, the Holy Spirit that I've put in into this human being, what has happened to this person. Because now Adam was no more in the presence of the Lord. God was present, but Adam was not in his presence. So, this is where he lost that authority. And God's plan from the beginning was to redeem that authority and take it back to humankind. This is why the plan to bring Jesus came about. To say, there's nothing else that I can offer more than what has been stolen. Why? Because everything else in the kingdom of God involves blood, which is equivalent to sacrifice. And he said, there's no greater price that I can see on earth than the one that is with me in heaven. And I have to send this son of mine to go and die and be crucified and go through all bad things you can think about for you and me. And this you and me, it was not just so that we can just have authority. It is for us to have access that in the cool of the day, we can work with the Father. Let me tell you a little bit about the authority of Adam. When Adam said he's a chair, God said, I agree. Authority. What Adam said, what you say, so what do people say about you? Do they say if that man touches you? Believers, I am not exalting men. I am exalting what God has deposited in a man. It is all for the glory of God. So when they speak about you, and please when you speak about me, don't call me prices going down. Let's come back to this. I don't see him anymore. I was praying by Pastor Lucky's church. He has prayers during the week. He has prayer groups. I came there undetected. I didn't announce myself. And it's the first time he's hearing this. So I went there, so I was praying. During the week I'll go once a week just to keep the fire burning on the altar. And one day, one of his pastors approached me when I entered the church. And he came to me, he said, I quickly have to go to the hospital, I must go and pray for someone. He gave me the mic and said, at 6:30, you must come here, encourage the people, pray for them, remind them of the mandate of the church, the vision, and why they are praying here. It was 5:30. And 6:00, do the same thing, usher the ones that have been praying for an hour out, and usher the ones that are coming to pray for the next hour in. And then I'll be back at 6:15. He didn't ask me anything. He didn't say, are you a member of this church? He doesn't know my name. But what was in me, the same way you reminded Apostle Jack last night of being a pastor, what was in me made that man come. He could have chosen others that he knows that he's been seeing in the church, praying for that service, to minister to the service. But he came to me. He doesn't even know if I know the vision and the mission of the church. So I prayed and I realized this church will use me to be a pastor. Let me run away. And sure enough, when the service ended, he came back before 6:30 and he said, you want to continue? I said, no, continue. He continued. 7:00, he said, what's your name? I told him, he said, no, Friday you must come and do Holy Communion. So, the authority you carry, when someone looks at you, or you look at yourself, what do you see? I carry an authority of healing. I carry an authority of deliverance. I carry an authority of changing the economy. I carry authority of uprooting, planting, bringing down walls. What authority are you, me and you, I together, we carry? Let's see what I can do with what is left. Jesus died. He was caught. He was tortured. for 6 hours. The Bible tells us that if you are found guilty by law of the Romans, they cannot whip you and crucify you. It's either they crucify you only, follow me in this story. The reason you found two thieves on the cross is because they were not whipped. They were only crucified. That's why they lasted that long on the crosses. But Jesus suffered for you and me when he was whipped. The Bible says 40 lashes minus one. Because by law, if you whip somebody in the Jewish law 40 lashes, you are dehumanizing them. But for you and me, Jesus was dehumanized. He was whipped, bruised for transgression. He took sin upon himself when him himself known no sin. It was his blood that purchased this gospel that we preach today. So, it is said that when he was whipped, if the flesh did not tear from his body, oh my God, they did not count that whip. They whipped him everywhere that the Bible says he was even disfigured. That you could not tell whether the eye was a teeth. Everything was hanging. But he held on for you and me. He knew the price because he said to the Father, why can this cup pass me by? But not my will, but your will. So that today we can inherit and enjoy the gifts and the inheritance, the sacred inheritance of the Lord, which is preservation, wholeness, and healing and deliverance. So that today we can enjoy to say, in the name of Jesus, out. Not for the betterment of our life, to buy cars, shoes, clothes, or to tell others that I have more power than you. So that we can be able to walk in the authority of his name. He purchased the price. The pain was so much that it was called excruciating pain. Ask Dr. Khairi, when somebody has broken legs in 18 places, they say, this person is no more in pain, is in excruciating pain. And he went to the cross. He suffered two punishments for you and me. When he didn't deserve. That's why when I look at Barnabas, who was released, when they said, do we release the king of the Jews or Barnabas? And they said, release Barnabas. I then realized, you are Barnabas. He had no strength when he carried this cross, going a kilometer to Golgotha. There was no strength left in him. He was humiliated. His mother looked at him naked. Can your mother look at you naked now? His mother looked at him naked for him to purchase what we have today. For him to purchase what we want today. He stood there hanging. When you breathe, there's something that happens to your thoracic area. It stretches and it goes back in. Expand and it goes back in. Jesus was hanging on the cross by the nail. The only thing that kept him there was the nail on his hands. Because every time he had to breathe, because everything was torn, he had to pull himself up first so that he can release air and then go back down. This is why when they wanted to kill the thieves, they had to break their legs. Because once the legs are broken, they've got no standing to be able to go up and down to breathe. So at the end of the day, Jesus gave his ghost. He said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he went to hell to take what belongs to us today. So I want to call someone. This Jesus. Before you can exercise authority, before you become a ridicule like the sons of Sceva, come and receive him. I'm not going to count 1, 2, 3. Just come and receive Jesus so that you can access this authority. Because if you speak of a name that you do not know, as he says in the book of Matthew, that you will come to heaven and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did you not cast out demons in your name? And he says, yes, that you can do, but I never knew you. Do you want to know Jesus today? See, the problem is because I have a prophetic gift. I know you are here. So sitting there doesn't help you. Come. Just come. My session is over. Otherwise, I'm going into African time. I'm not leaving here until you come. Amen. Clap hands for her. For them. Thank you for having the courage to come. You have made a perfect decision that you can ever have done in your life. Either you are coming for the second time because you were born again and you feel there was a shift, or for whatever reason that you are here, whatever carried you here, I thank God for it. So I'm going to ask you to follow me into this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, you are more than welcome to help them at the back. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died and you were buried and you rose again after 3 days. You died for my sins on the cross. I receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Fill me today with your Holy Spirit. I receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. From today, I declare that I am a child of God. Amen. Give glory to Jesus. Amen. Father, these ones that have come, let your mighty hand rest upon them. Do a new thing in their lives. Do a new thing in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Do a new thing in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Reproach and shame is of the enemies, not of the Father. Remove it, Lord. Remove it, Jesus. Remove it, Father. Revelation says, I had tears and I cry no more. I had tears and I cry no more. Power and authority. Father, let your light come. Blind eyes shall see. Blind eyes shall see. The lame shall walk. All this for your glory. Fire will come, Lord. Fire will come. Let your glory come. Let your glory come. Full measure of grace. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. More faith. Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you. More faith. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.